Steve Grumpy Collins.
We're going to talk about China. Steve Grumpy Collins. Have a look at what he does on YouTube and Facebook. Steve Collins Traveller. Grumpy, good morning.
Oh, good morning. Can I request a song? What about Rob EG's 55 Days at Peking at some
stage? Yeah, of course we should.
That was
do
a number one
well.
Hit.
It was Rob EG, massive. For those that remember, there wouldn't be anybody listening now that would remember Rob EG.
Well, his real name was Robbie Porter, and he actually became one of Australia's best record producers.
He did. Some wonderful work that he did.
He did.
Now, I happen to be reading, coincidentally, talking about China, I was reading RAC, RACV, and their equivalent, RAC out of WA, the magazine.
Yeah, and the Horizon, I think it's called.
And talked about the fact that, as of just in the last month and a half or so, it's now official, more cars coming into Australia out of China, thumping others, including Japan, for the first time in decades.
Correct. And most of them are EVs because China is a world leader in an EV car manufacturer.
Indeed.
So, yes, they're doing very... Once the Chinese decide to do something, they do attack it and they I mean, let's face it, China is... Well, there's no competition. I mean, it is the biggest manufacturing country in the world. You look at how much stuff comes from China. I mean, even things like Apple products and stuff like that are made in China. They might be invented in US and places like that. Yeah. So, yes.
Which gets right under the claw of the President of the United States. But I mean, the idea of then Apple or any companies like that having to set up and produce their product at the same price point, say in America, that's the challenge, which clearly is something that for which the President has been advocating, but it's not that easy. It's not that simple.
Well, in order to compete with China, you've got to pay very, very low wages.
Yeah.
In fact, many, many Americans do have very, very low wages. I think their basic wage is $7.50 an hour or something. I've been going to China for quite some time. I started in the 1980s, and the big change occurred after Tiananmen Square, because before that it was a very, very staunch communist country. They all wore Mao suits and lived in communes. And after Tiananmen Square, and I was up there during Tiananmen Square, believe it or not, that's when the government decided that the people were never going to get political freedom, but they could have economic freedom and they could invest in businesses, buy property and stuff like that. So that's when China really became a 20th century back then and now 21st century country. And today it's not even arguably, it is the most sophisticated country in the world as far as technology is concerned. Mm. I mean, we've just been talking about the cars. Just about every electronic device that we have is made in China. Their rail system is incredible. They've got something like 20,000 kilometres of high-speed rail. Once they start to decide to do something, they really, really do it. And their achievements are fantastic. But it is a brilliant place to visit as well.
If so I'm sitting down here, Grumpy, I'm wearing a pair of... what shoes are they? They are... a New Balance, thank you.
Right.
New Balance shoes, made in China. I'm wearing a pair of socks, made in China. I'm wearing a pair of linen shorts, made in China. T-shirt and a top, made in China.
If did you buy them all through Temu? Because guess where that's based?
No, it wasn't Temu. But the point of that is, if it wasn't for China, I'd be sitting here naked.
I'm trying not to envisage that. Thanks very much, Tony. Thank you very much.
No China, naked
Tony. I know
Tony.
That you're a very, very handsome man, Tony, but my thoughts about you are not going to go that far.
Stay there. We'll come back, talk more about China in just a moment. Steve Collins, Traveller, YouTube, Facebook. Have a look at what he does. There it is, Grumpy. Robbie G. 55 yes. days in Peking. And he actually produced not one, not two, but three albums for Daddy Cool.
Oh, did he really? Yep. I didn't know that.
On
oh.
that label, Sparmac label, in the wow. very early Daddy 70s. Cool. 70.
They are one of the best bands I've ever seen live in, their peak, cool. in yeah, the early right. 70s. I went to a concert in Sydney. They were the third act. Mungo Jerry was the second lead act, and I forget who the first one was. But yes, Daddy Cool, they were the third main act. They came on and blew everybody away. Mungo Jerry weren't bad, but they were nowhere near as good as Daddy Cool. And I forget.
Mungo Jerry did. They were the overseas version of the Pushbike song.
No, the Mixtures were. No, that Mungo didn't. They did In the Summertime.
Which was also the Mixtures.
Yeah, they would have copied that, because that was at they a did. Time mm. when the Australian radio wasn't playing
That's right.
British songs because yep. of royalties that Ooh. Were being played. So a lot of Australian groups were recording the Yellow River and places and songs like that.
Knock,
they
knock,
were actually British
there?
Songs, but we covered them so we could play them here.
Yeah, which were done on the Fable label.
Correct. Mm. Yes, I think was that Ron Tudor.
Ron Tudor. How do we remember yes. all this crap?
Really?
I don't know.
Why do we remember this?
Can't remember what I had for breakfast, but you remember no. that.
No, and if you ask me what happened in 1973 or, no, it would have been earlier, that 1960s, political or something, I wouldn't be able to tell you.
No. But
I
can tell you. Yeah, no. Let's talk about China if I can. I've got a couple yes. of things for you before you fire away. Yes. In this very chair,
yep.
There was a great broadcaster. His name was Keith McGowan.
Yes, very well done.
And you would remember Keith from the time that he spent in Western Australia at 6PR in Perth.
No, that was before my time.
But you know the legend of that.
I know the
era.
Legend of Keith McGowan.
He
and
was
I know,
just
yes.
And Keith was one of the first that I recall on air saying that he was a regular visitor to China at a time it was unheard of. Or pretty much
yeah,
unheard
that,
of.
Yeah, that would have been probably the 70s.
Seventies, a very early part, maybe 80s, yep. perhaps.
And and that's when you went there and you were taken to communes.
Yeah,
to take tour groups to China. Believe it or not, I used to be their escort or there, and you'd be flying in Russian built aircraft. Like Tupolevs and stuff, and you never quite knew if you were going to make it to the next destination.
What, in aircraft out of Australia?
No, this was when you got to China. Out of Australia, you would fly usually Qantas or Cathay Pacific. You always went in via Hong Kong. You would normally go to Hong Kong and then you'd catch the train to Guangzhou or Canton, as we also knew it, or somewhere else. Beijing or somewhere like, depending where your tour went. So yeah, it was very, very difficult, and it was safest to travel around by train, because in those days it was all steam engines, and not now. And it's a fabulous place for going on trains. The countryside in China is really, really beautiful. And these days, they've got the world's most modern trains, because they've got something like 20,000 kilometres of high-speed rail. Mm. And some of those journeys are absolutely fantastic. I mean, you can get from Beijing to Shanghai, about 800 kilometres.
Which would be what, like Melbourne through Sydney?
It's
a bit more.
It's similar to that.
Similar.
No, it'd be longer. It's 1,318 kilometres. There
right,
we go.
Okay.
From Beijing to Shanghai, and it takes 5 hours.
Wow.
So it's but some of those trips that they have there are absolutely magnificent. But yes, but most people do fly around to China if they go there on a tour, and there are certain places you've got to go. I reckon there's five places if you want to do China. And you want to do it just to get a taste of it. The five I would pick in no particular order, but they would be Beijing, Shanghai, Xi'an, Guilin, and Guangzhou. And that sort of takes you over most of China. And I mean, Beijing is just the most amazing city. Yeah, it's got so much history and culture there because you've got the Forbidden City, which is magnificent. There's something like 999 rooms in this, and it's a big palace, you know. It's just brilliant. And it was called the Forbidden City because when the royal family lived there, there were several dynasties that lived there. In order for a male to work there, you had to be a eunuch. So you had to make quite a big sacrifice to get a job there. Not that I would recommend that, Tony. And then you've got the Temple of Heaven, which is this most amazing building. It's made completely out of timber, but there is not one nail used in it. It's all mortised and tenon. And the Summer Palace, which is huge. And then, of course, the big thing about Beijing is you take the trip to the Great Wall. And the Great Wall, well, of course, it's just magnificent. Yeah. Now, people say, oh, I'd love to go and walk the Great Wall. You do not walk the Great Wall. What you do is you climb the Great Wall. It's very, very steep. It's very, very impressive. But, oh, it's just amazing to be on it. And you wonder, how did they build this thing? Because it literally does go up mountains, you know.
Except from the moon. Let's ask the audience, 133693, if you've ever been to China, which part of the China did you love the most and why? 133693. And you might be a regular visitor to China, as, say, Keith was. I think he would take people, listeners, I think, or yes, I might have made that bit
probably
up. But certainly in the early days, he would often go and come back and talk about his love of China. And that goes back, you know, at least 30-plus years. 133693. Rodney in Packham, have you got a quick question about travel?
Just one, Tony. I went to Expo in Brisbane. And I reckon that's the best ever show I've been to.
It was really good, wasn't it? That's got to go back about 1980s, I'm going to say 88?
88.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Well, those expos are fantastic. I think they hold them about every 4 years in different cities around the world. And, they're fabulous. Yeah, I agree with you. Go to an and you get to see the best of many countries in the world when you go to an expo. You're right.
Thank you, Rodney. It's a good one. I mean, people, you're right about expo and that one in 88, because I went to have a look at that as well.
Yeah.
In 88. And it was just a massive event and done so beautifully in Queensland, in Brisbane.
And I think it lasts about 6 months
I think.
It's not over, a couple of weeks.
Alex in Sunshine. Tone, did you know 4 days ago was 118 years? Oh, that's we've already read that one, so forgive me. Sorry, I thought it was a brand new one. We mentioned that. You stay there, Grumpy. More the other side, wherever you are, right around Australia. 133693, Steve Collins Traveller. What he does on YouTube, Facebook, nobody can make any sense of it, but it's worthwhile having a look. If you have just tuned in for the first time for Australia Overnight in your entire life, it's nice to know that you're there. My name is Anthony. Why are you laughing? My name is Anthony Robin McManus. Regular contributor to the program is a bloke. We know him and love him as Grumpy, but his real name is Steve Collins. He is a traveller of renown.
Yes.
And he does lots of stuff on social media, YouTube.
And a traveller of round as well.
Of round. and we're talking China. Jan in Muckleford, say hello to Grumpy.
Good morning.
Good day, Stephen. I also used to organise trips to China.
No, did you really?
Yes. Yeah. And I'm wondering, you were talking about Keith McGowan. Well, the person who used to organise the trips for Keith, she retired and handed it over to me. So
This is out of Melbourne, was it?
Out of Melbourne, yes. Yeah. So you're not in Melbourne, you're in Perth, are you?
Yeah, that's right. We were organising them out of Perth, yeah.
Ah, okay.
Anyway, we were called Voyager Tours, yeah.
Tony asked, what are your favourite cities? Well, I would say Xi'an.
Yes, definitely.
Yan'an.
Yep.
And Suzhou, the beautiful gardens of Suzhou, and the
beautiful gardens and all those canals. It's just lovely there, isn't it, in Suzhou? And it's not all that far from Shanghai.
That's right. It's I forget how far, but I think we did
about an hour by train. No, it was about an hour by train. This is back in the 1980s. It's probably about 10 minutes now because they got high speed rail.
When did you organise tours?
I started in 1987.
And I was,
Well, I mean, the guy I worked with, he'd started them before that, but I eventually joined him because I was asked to do a couple of tours with him and lead them, and I got really enchanted with China.
Let me just throw out a question before you go, Jan. In my mind, I'm no doubt I'm wrong about this. I've not been to China, but my mind says we go to China to look at a whole lot of people that mum and dad said, if you don't eat your dinner, you know, there are children in China that are starving. And so I don't want to be there to look at people, poor people. You know, that was in my childhood head.
The food in China is very good.
Sorry, Jan?
The food is excellent.
There's
nobody starving. And I first went there. Now, Steve, you'll be surprised at this. I first went there in 1971.
Right.
Ooh.
You must have followed Gough Whitlam. Because after he went. Yeah.
No, it was before Gough went.
Oh, was it? Really? Okay.
I was there just before Tricky Dicky Nixon.
Oh, right. Okay.
So there's a bit of a great history. I don't want to run out of time, Jan. Good to talk to you. Thank you for that little tidbit. Gil, very quickly in South Perth. Good morning. China?
Hi, Tony. Hey, it's Grumpy there.
He's listening. Go ahead.
Yes, hello.
Oh, Grumpy, how are you? I love listening to you. Hey, Grumpy, back in the 80s, I used to be a real estate agent when I was very young in Perth.
Yeah.
And I used to travel the world everywhere else. I used to travel to Italy all the time because houses were very cheap there. I bought quite a lot, still got a lot there.
Right,
but what happened, I always wanted to go to China. It took me about 2 years to get them to approve for me to go and have someone meet me when I got there, for a Chinese person.
Yeah,
I wasn't allowed to go on my own.
Yeah.
And I learned something tonight because 20 years ago I thought that I used to call it Guilin. You call it Guilin tonight.
Yeah.
I went and travelled on a boat up the river on the
way. Yeah, you would have travelled up the Lee River.
Yeah, it was beautiful. And I got a real shock when I got to China because I lived pretty well in Perth, used to go to all the good hotels. And when I arrived in China, I used to be able to go to a Chinese hotel and have an Australian breakfast there. I was shocked about it. It was more like Australia to me at the time, but I had no problem.
Once the Chinese agree to do something, they do it very, very well.
It seems that is the case.
I stayed at some great hotels up there,
Gil, good to talk to you. Thank you. Lots of love, everybody, there in South Perth. The old gag is there are no Chinese restaurants in China.
Well, that's possibly true because it's all regional cuisine there, so it depends. The best one we know is Cantonese, which is based around Guangzhou. But when you get north of the Yangtze River, and and that's basically where Shanghai is, once you get north of that, they don't grow rice because the weather is entirely different. It's too cold and it's wheat-based. And so you don't get so much rice there, but you get a very, very, very different cuisine to the sort of the Chinese food that we get in restaurants
here. So no honey chicken?
No, not up there, no. But you do think you get some good meals. Yeah, but if you go to Sichuan, that's where they overload it with chili, and that can take your breath away
But the gag is there's no Chinese restaurants in China, or as they just call them, restaurants.
Restaurants, correct, yes.
It is Australia overnight. Just try again, see if Grumpy's there. We think we may have lost the line, the satellite dropping out to that part of the world. Grumpy, have you disappeared? Seems he has. Next week, Grumpy will join us, as he does on a Friday, for Australia Overnight. Lots of text, lots of messages. We will get to those the other side of the news. And coming up after the news is John Doremus. We'll cross over to the United States of America with some stories coming out of that part of the world. And your calls as well, 133-693. Texting 0477-693-693. And for those of you that love to easily send a email, it's simple. It's overnights, plural, at 3aw.com.au. Overnights at 3aw.com.au. Lovely message that says, Tone, you heal me completely with a woman in love with the one and only Barbara Streisand. Barbara Streisand today is 84. 84 babs today. Barbara. Gabe's in the newsroom.